From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Talks between Mexico and the U.S. were underway in Washington after last week's threat by President Donald Trump to impose tariffs if Mexico does not cooperate more closely with the U.S. in border security. China is watching this in particular. Journalist Nathan King filed this report with China's global television network on Tuesday.
As U.S. President Trump left for Europe, the Mexican foreign minister flew into Washington, hopeful that despite U.S. threats, a compromise can be found to avert tariffs and yet another one of Trump's trade wars.
La imposición de aranceles.
Slapping tariffs, along with the decision to cancel the aid programs to the northern and central American countries, could have a counterproductive effect and would not reduce the migration flows. Tariffs could cause financial and economic instability, which means that Mexico could reduce its capacity to address migration flows and to offer alternatives to the new migrants who have recently arrived in Mexico.
The U.S. president has been frustrated with the lack of success he's had in tackling illegal migration, a key campaign pledge to build a wall along the southern border and have Mexico pay for it has failed, and draconian immigration policies have led to a spike in detained immigrants, including children held for long periods of time. There have been several deaths. And there's also been a spike of asylum seekers traveling from Guatemala and Honduras. While Trump will be out of the country for the negotiations, he tweeted before he left, "Mexico is sending a big delegation to talk about the border. Problem is, they've been talking for 25 years. We want action, not talk. They could solve the border crisis in one day if they so desired. Otherwise, our companies and jobs are coming back to the USA." U.S. businesses don't agree with their president. They know that any tariffs will hit the U.S. side of the border hard and could upset complex supply chains from autos to avocados.
Our first goal is to persuade the administration that this is the wrong approach, that it goes against his top legislative priority and ours, USMCA, that the negative impact that it will have on the economy won't solve the problem at the border, and to kind of get off tariffs and onto other solutions.
Legal challenges are expected against this latest move. Never before has a U.S. president used emergency powers to try and impose tariffs to stem the flow of illegal migration. However, this is familiar, this move to countries whose products, from everything from cell phones to cars, are now somehow considered a threat to U.S. national security. Nathan King, CGTN, Washington.
This coming Thursday, Russia will play host to political and business leaders from around the world in its westward-looking city of St. Petersburg at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. President Vladimir Putin's spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, sat down with RT's Sophie Shevardnadze to discuss the economic forum and what's happening in the larger world.
So we've got a big event coming up, St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. But this year it's getting a lot of bad press in the West, and there are calls to boycott the forum. What does it really mean? Like, what is the aim of the boycott? Does the forum feel any effect?
Well, I don't share your view, actually. And I think that you are over-exaggerating the situation. Well, yes, we've heard a statement by American ambassador in Moscow and he said that he was going to boycott the forum. But it doesn't mean that it will be boycotted by representatives of the companies, including those from the United States of America.
Are they coming?
Huh?
Are they coming?
Of course, lots of them. Traditionally, they take part in forum, and then they're going to continue this practice. It's 75 countries, 270 companies from all over the world will be taking place in this forum. All in all, it's about 15,000 people are going to take part. So it's both international participants, foreign participants, and local ones.
But do you agree that this forum has never gotten this amount of bad press ever before? I mean, I'm talking about New York Times. Okay, New York Times, granted, it's not like the most favorable publication.
First, they have to hand in the Pulitzer.
Right, but then we have, the Bloomberg and the, like a lot of good, respected newspapers and other media outlets were reporting that people shouldn't go to St. Petersburg. Not only the ambassador.
First of all, you have to be very creative these days, judging upon news coming from newspapers. Most frequently, it cannot be considered as genuine news, and you have to be very careful while treating this news. So, these kind of forums cannot be boycotted. You cannot create a vacuum, because if you create a vacuum from certain companies, this vacuum will be filled immediately by companies coming from the other, some different countries. And all countries are pretty aware of that fact, and they're very careful in not letting this vacuum to happen on the forum. So they're all very active and even proactive in participating in this forum. It's very interesting. It's very representative. Despite certain problems with the international economic environment, still Russian market is very attractive.
We're going to talk about the climate a little bit later, the investment climate, but I want to talk first about the political climate in general, because last year's forum was pretty tense political climate. The U.S.-Russia relations were deteriorating, new sanctions were coming in because of the Skripal case. What about this year? Would you say it's more welcoming, or has it gotten worse?
Well, it's welcoming every year,
because
our business, as those who are standing behind organizers of the forum, is to ensure our counterparts that the climate here for investments, for economic cooperation, is favorable and comfortable, and we're doing our business. Some other countries, they choose the way of trying to show the opposite picture. I would say it's some signs of unfair competition from their end, but it doesn't mean that this forum is tense. Well, just ask the participants. They would say that it's quite a golden opportunity for them to establish contacts, to continue dialogue with their vis-a-vis in Russia. So, Every year we see some parties who are doing their best to blackmail this forum, but at the end we see quite a successful happening.
So the big story that everyone's talking about, and it sort of coincided with this forum, is the arrest of the American investor Michael Calvi. It happened a month or two ago during another investment forum. So that's why the American ambassador, he said, we're not coming. So he was put in prison. Now he's on home arrest. Yeah, it's much better, but does this mean that American pressure is working? They're boycotting the forum and now he's in house arrest?
It doesn't mean that American businessmen are not going to participate. They're going to come. They're accredited, and then the majority of them have confirmed and reconfirmed their participation. What comes to Michael Calvi's case, it's very unfortunate case, and we're very sorry about that. Of course, we would like to see Michael among the participants of the forum, because he's been quite an active player in Russian market since the end. More than 15 years. So that's why we all know him as a very trustful businessman devoted to Russian market. And probably you know the news that he asked to participate for a permission to participate in
is
the forum.
Is there any chance that he'll get a permission?
I don't know. I'm not issuing the permit for that. Of course, we would prefer to see him among the participants. But I don't think that we are entitled somehow to give any definition to the case of Michael Calvi.
But I'm not
we
really
don't know
talking
the nature
about
of
the case about the Michael Calvi. You're right. It's not up to me or you to decide whether it's fair or not. There are other prominent structures who will decide if he's guilty or not. I'm talking about the reaction to the case from foreign investors. For instance, Patrick Pouyanné, the CEO of Total, he's also throwing his weight behind Calvi's French partner, Philippe Delpen, who is in prison, not on home arrest.
There was a meeting between French businessmen and President Putin a couple of months ago, and the issue of this French citizen and then Michael Calvi was raised during that meeting by the participants, and Mr. Pouyanné was among them. So they received all the necessary explanation by President Putin, and not explanations about the nature of the case, but explanation that this is a case in a strict accordance with Russian laws, and we do hope that at the end those gentlemen will be freed. But nothing is being done voluntarily. So it's a law in Russia, and you have to agree with it, law. You have to follow this law.
Talk to me, please, about the reaction, because the case, I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Once again, it's not up to me to say it's right or wrong or you.
Yeah.
But President always saying, and you're always saying, that we're very open and we'll do everything in our power for foreign investors and businessmen to come and have comfortable conditions to work in our country. Mm-hmm. But what are those promises worth if what they see on TV is how foreign investors are being arrested?
Listen, the situation is actually should be treated this way. Lots of businessmen are protesting this case because they think that it's a purely trade dispute that should be solved in arbitrage, mm-hmm. not in a criminal court or not through a criminal investigation. So we have to wait until investigation is over. And if it is proven that this is not a trade dispute, then everything that is being done is correct. This is the case. And we have to be patient. We have to be patient. We have to understand that those prosecutors, those investigators should have very serious reasons to put those gentlemen in jail for the period of investigation.
Is President Putin, like, personally overlooking this and somehow following
this
case? Yes, of course. Because it's a huge case.
Yes, of course. He's receiving information. He's receiving reports about that because it's quite a loud case. It's quite a loud case. So, and he understands that it provokes lots of questions among party of investors, foreign investors. But law is a law. You have to obey.
All right, so except American business and American investors, there's more to the forum, and the Chinese president is coming. And there is a lot of talk about how there's an agreement to synergize China's One Belt, One Road and Russia's Eurasia Economic Union. It's going to be a huge infrastructure project. And even the Western press, the Hill, is writing that it's true that the sanctions actually made it possible for China to invest more into Russia. And they're now talking about Eastern Entente. It has a ring to it. What do you think of it? Are we really in for an Eastern Entente?
Well, of course, it's very attractive project. It's actually kind of philosophy. It's, even it's not a project. It's a compilation of huge projects that are in mind of our Chinese partners. Russia is not participating directly. Russia is a country that is looking for integration with this project in this or that extent, that is compatible with this project. Of course, China is not investing, let's say, a lot. We cannot say that China is investing a lot in Russian economy. There's still a very huge space for enlargement of these volumes of investments of Chinese businessmen. So, and we do hope that with the time being, those investments will rise. China is a very close partner with Russia, and we cooperate successfully. What means that we do it successfully? It means that the volume of our trade is constantly rising. not depending on international environment, so international economic environment. We have been planning to achieve a goal of 100 billion USD, and it was even a little bit higher at the end, 107 billion USD. Well, if you compare it with the balance between the states and China, it's quite a humble amount. But nonetheless, for our economy, for size of our economy, it's a very significant amount. China is not a partner of number one for us yet. Still, EU and EU countries are trade partners number one with us. And I cannot share those who say that it's a turn of Russia eastwards. No, Russia, I hope, will never turn eastwards. You know, Russian eagle is looking to both sides, westwards and eastwards. This is the nature of every dimension of policy of Russia, let it be a political, diplomatical activities or economic ones.
We're listening to an interview by Sophie Shevardnadze of RT of Dmitry Peskov, who's the senior spokesperson for Russia's President Vladimir Putin, about the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, which opens later this week in St. Petersburg, Russia.
And we're back with Dmitry Peskov, Vladimir Putin's press secretary. Mr. Peskov, I've heard you in many instances say that even though Chinese are very close partners with Russia, they're often very cautious in relations with Russians and in dealing with Russian businesses. And like, I know that Chinese banks are sometimes refusing to serve Russian customers, vice versa, because they're afraid of the American sanctions. So when you think about it, does it mean that de facto Russia-China economic relations are dependent on Washington?
Well, everything is interdependent in this world. None of the countries are free in their moves, in their decisions. Every country have to balance and rebalance their activities in the field of economy, because we are all interdependent. So that's why, yes, of course, we can feel an influence of American sanctions in our bilateral relationship. But at the same time, we are sovereign enough to take those steps which are being considered of extreme importance for us, and of course the dimension of bilateral economic relations between Russia and China, is a very significant dimension for the global economy.
But would you say the Western sanctions against Russia are also taking its toll on how Chinese can invest in Russia, Chinese make business in Russia?
Businessmen, they are very careful in all the countries, not only in China. Every businessman has to keep in mind all the factors, all the elements that can influence their future. So some Chinese businessmen prefer to be more careful. Some of them are more proactive in their activities. Some of them are waiting. Some of them are building factories. Automotive factories in Russia, and the one of those will be inaugurated during the visit of President Xi in Moscow.
Would you say that, I'm not talking just Chinese businessmen or investors, would you say in general people have found ways to go around sanctions and found loopholes in sanctions to actually do their business as usual with Russia, or not really?
Well, of course, there is a significant. Well, there is a certain influence of sanctions for various international potential investors in Russia and businessmen who can potentially launch their business here. Yes, some of them would prefer to be more cautious about that, and we can, in their case, we can speak about negative influence of sanctions. But not necessarily all of them would prefer to keep in mind the existing sanctions. Some of them, to the contrary, would try to take advantage of reluctant behavior of the others to take advantage of the opening markets here.
And also, like, regardless of these actions, Russia is still building huge projects, energy projects like the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline in Germany. And we'll know how Americans are reacting to it. They're saying the companies that are involved in this project from the German side will actually be sanctioned. And the sanctions will be so hard that it will be difficult to swallow. Right now, Germany is very firm. They're saying, we don't really care. Like, we need this project and we're going through with it.
Not only Germany, by the way. And
right.
You've seen the president of Austria in Sochi and others.
But.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just remember how outraged all of the EU was when America enlarged its sanctions against Iran. But at the end of the day, most of the companies largely are, you know, obliged to withdraw from Iran, even if they don't want to. So when it comes to Nord Stream 2, what are your thoughts? Are you, like, confident that it's going to go through?
That's a huge international project.
But we've seen other projects being ended before it started.
Well, that is being performed for the benefit of those countries supplying natural gas and receiving natural gas. The project that will be a very significant contribution for energy security of Europe. And the project that is a huge competitor and very serious competitor for American gas producers and suppliers. So instead
is that the main reason?
Of course. Instead of fair competition, they prefer to act like in Wild West time. So they just show the gun. And they say that no, you guys here in Europe, you're going to buy our natural gas, and we don't care that it is at least 30% more expensive than the gas coming from the Russians. This is the case.
So want to talk a little bit about Putin and Trump, because after last meeting between the two presidents were canceled in less than 24-hour notice in Argentina, you said, well, now it's up to Washington to arrange the next sit-down. The question is Moscow right now in sort of a wait-and-see position?
Yes, it is.
How does it make you feel? I mean, I understand that this is a wise decision, because it's better to talk than not to talk. But, like, when Trump cancels its meeting and eventually that it happens, does it get under your skin that Washington, you know, reserves the right for this sort of mood swings?
Well, you know that from the very beginning of the presidency of President Trump, our president was expressing a readiness to establish good relationship with Washington, to try to repair this damage that was done by President Obama during last month of his presidency. And from the very beginning, President Putin insisted that we were ready to go ahead as long as in as advanced as our American counterparts are ready to. Unfortunately, now we see that they're not ready to advance at all. But President Putin is quite experienced and quite patient president of quite a patient country.
So he doesn't take it personally. Right. He doesn't feel like it's disrespectful that, you know, Americans, oh, no, we don't want to meet. Okay, now we want to meet.
Well, we want to meet. We see lots of questions, of strategic questions on the agenda that should be tackled on the level of two presidents. There's no way for those problems to be solved on a lower level. We understand that the lots of questions are coming from American side that are also should be discussed by the presidents. And we understand that those problems are idling in absence of the dialogue on the highest level. So not meeting each other is illogic. And it contradicts with national interests of our two countries. But we cannot be I don't know the proper English proverb for that, more holy than a pope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because yeah, as we say it in Russia, yeah. So that's why President Putin has said that he was going to wait.
Just the way Trump talks about Putin is very sympathetic and very respectful. And then it's just obvious that he likes the man. But then people who surround him are completely the opposite. And their views are completely opposite of sympathetic towards the Russian president. So a lot of people saying, well, while the Mueller investigation was going on, of course, Trump's hands were tied. He couldn't make a move towards Russia. And now that there is no evidence of Russia's interference on a government level in the American elections, it's going to be easier to be nice to Putin and to sit down and talk and not really care about what people around him say. Do you feel like this meeting at G20 summit is going to be any different from others?
Well, first of all, we still don't know whether the meeting is going to take place or not, because it wasn't initiated officially by the American side.
But wasn't Mike Pompeo in Sochi and sort of like
He was in Sochi, and he was speaking about a potential willingness to have the meeting, but this is not a reason for a meeting to take place. You have to initiate it officially somehow. So it is still ahead. It never happened yet. Being a press secretary of the president of the Russian Federation, I can speak on his behalf. And I can tell you one thing. When President Putin says something, he means it. And when he means something, he does it. This is what I know for sure, for 100%.
So conclusion is that if Trump is willing and confirms the meeting...
You make your own analysis.
Yeah. All right, I have one last question that has nothing to do with anything we've just spoken about, but it's very relevant for most of the Russians. The so-called sovereign internet bill that's coming into action in November, it's coming into force. Mm-hmm. So this is a legislation that's aimed to allow Russian internet to continue working in case Russia is completely cut off from the global infrastructure. But people I've spoken to, like people who are in the business, are saying it's physically impossible to do that. I mean, I don't know. That's what they're saying. Do you, as representatives of the Russian government, have a reason to think that someone is trying to cut us off from the global internet?
We have a reason to think. We faced American sanctions. We faced some threats coming from international trade organizations, from American trade organizations, not international. Because what they did was illegal from the point of view of international law. You would probably remember the potential threats coming from international payment systems. I'm not naming one right now.
SWIFT.
I'm not naming them. You remember that. So there were some talks about a possibility of cutting Russia off that systems. Now we see a situation when, for example, one operational system is saying that they would cut off a Chinese company from their products. I'm speaking about this trade war between America and then the Chinese producers of communication devices. So we witness these trade wars. We witness those threats. We witness results of those illegal actions. When we see what is going on vis-a-vis Iran, what is going on vis-a-vis China, what happened vis-a-vis Russia in the near past. So, and we understand that we have to be self-sufficient. We have to be sovereign in all our capacities. All this is also applicable for the internet. Internet is an international environment. But unfortunately, we're living in a world of where international law can be jeopardized by certain countries. We have to take measures of precaution.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.